Hey, grandkids, welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 275. This is Kevin. With me this week is Chris. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing pretty good, Kevin. How about you over there?
I cannot argue. A victory for the Penguins today, 8-3, was nice to see. World Series, we were just talking about this, probably going to Game 7. I always like those, a Game 7 in any sport. Like, I'm not that big of an NBA fan, but there's a Game 7. I mean, you can't not watch it. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, there is something about a Game 7. Everything on the line, only one last chance for both. Yeah, there's nothing better in sports.
So I'm good to go with this one going to Game 7. I haven't really watched too much, but Game 7, I'm sure I'll be.
But I might watch tomorrow, we'll see. Wednesday's a little bit of a busy TV night. Although one thing I do not watch on Wednesday nights anymore that's completely just erased from my DVR, I don't watch a second of it, is Lame Duck Impact. Stop watching. Right now, they're just. Maybe I'll sneak a little bit because tomorrow's supposed to be the title. You know, the title change, basically. You know. Lashley to Rude.
Okay.
There's no spoiler, alert or anything. I think everyone who's listening to this, I'm assuming knows.
No, I did not know that, but.
Well, you knew it was coming. I told you like last month that Rude won. Remember that won the title. They were to show it eventually.
Oh, yeah, you did. See, that's how much I care about Impact. Like, I just forget about it from week to week. I even forget about what happens about it when we talk about it.
For like 2 months ago, they're going to show it eventually.
Yeah. I don't know how much time. I mean, was that so that Lashley could go and train? Actually, because isn't his fight actually this coming weekend?
No, it was last weekend. He won again in Bellator.
Oh. Okay. Well, Bobby Lashley on the quick track to nowhere.
Yeah, I was gonna say I really don't even know where this Bellator run is leading. Bellator even have a heavyweight championship? I don't think they do.
I would assume they do. But, I
don't know who it is.
Yeah, I don't know who it is. I don't really watch. I mean, I do watch the UFC, but even that, I'm not probably a diehard. Like, I'm not sure. I try to see most pay-per-views, but, what I don't see, I don't see. It happens.
Right. And there's just all over the page in our favorite combat sports, just the including the fake one, just the glut of constant barrage of shows. Then each one becomes less important unless it is positioned as one of the big ones.
Right. Yeah. That's why I try to stick to the pay per views, and just some of the Fox ones are pretty easy to record. That certainly is, what did I want to go with that? I don't know. I mean, it's not like, well, the UFC is certainly not going to talk about Bobby Lashley.
That's the thing for Bobby's MMA career. He's already old. They already did the wrestler gimmick. They're going to do it again. They'll just bring Brock back, after his WWE contract is up, which is an interesting story that, there's probably not much to talk about with that, but it'll probably still be something to talk about over the next few months, what Brock Lesnar does after WrestleMania.
Oh. He's not going to have a long run if he goes back to the UFC.
Push up the shove, I think it's going to be... It'll be leveraged for another big contract with WWE.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I don't think we need to go that far into the future. We were more trying to dig into the recent past here. Okay, so Rude wins. That's fine. They've really actually done a pretty decent job of rebuilding him.
Yeah, they have. He's been very good. He's obviously the guy they want as the champion when they win, or if they ever relaunch. They wanted him as the champion, and you know, we'll see where. Well, hopefully we'll get to see where all that goes.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mind the turn over to Lashley, honestly, because they've done a decent job of making him kind of look like a badass, even though he's a pretty stiff wrestler still.
And a lot of that is Rude making him look great. But you know, Bobby Lashley, when he can just stand there and kind of stare while MVP is doing the talking, even though you know it looks like they're going into a direction of Lashley going babyface. But you know, I think it's been a good run, and maybe it's ending prematurely. But then again, we don't know where TNA is going to be at, you know, in the new year, or if anywhere. I gotta keep throwing that out there.
Yeah. Still O'Neil. You know they keep on running. Yeah, they keep on running out of time, and I mean that's another thing that I mean I don't even think to look at that for news or like it's just not there.
Yeah, I mean they need to make a deal quick. I mean a point that I was actually have not thought of because it's not you know where my head is at with it, but this week's MLW radio with Court Bauer and Conan. Uh-huh. They brought up the idea that in Hollywood, everything pretty much shuts down in December. No one really schedules many meetings. No one schedules much. There's almost no filming going on. There's no one records commercials or anything in December. So if TNA doesn't get a deal by the next few weeks, where are they going to be in January? That's a thought that I was not put in my head, but yeah, they're kind of in crunch time as far as getting anything together before the end of the year.
Well, I'm sure if need be, they could get something done in that month. But yeah, the more time they go, I mean, it just seems like nobody wants them, in my opinion, you know? It's just like, they don't...
I'm not going to say that there's no one that wants them, because there's plenty of cable... There's numbers of cable networks that do sub 1.0 average that will take them. But it's probably the price point that's being angled. You know, these networks do know that TNA has no leverage, so... They're trying to get it for as cheap as possible. and it's might not be a price that TNA can afford to, produce 52 weeks a year of television without looking like ROH.
Well, in the and I mean that could be what ends up of Bobby Lashley, that him and his salary to me it's just not worth it. Like as much as they did a decent job with him, I don't feel any need for them to have him, especially if he comes with a higher number, which I'm assuming anyone that was in the WWE and is in Bellator also is probably getting paid pretty well by TNA.
Right, yeah. I'm sure he's making, top-of-the-line money for whatever that standard is now, especially now that, the Hogan Sting contracts are gone. Highest paid guy is probably Kurt Angle, although it looks like they are going to keep Kurt Angle in some role. So I'm sure that Kurt played his own games as far as trying to make Dixie think that WWE had any interest at all when they didn't. If he's the one guy, the spokesman for the company that people recognize, that's fine. That's fine and well.
Yeah, he needs to stop trying to break people's freaking necks. Although he hasn't really gotten into any combat, to my at least minor pleasure, that
right.
I don't think he's actually wrestled anyone, although he does threaten people all too often.
Yeah, he does. I'm sure the commissioner role will eventually lead to him having, you know, matches a few times a year, which I guess would be fine as long as he's not an every week guy, which I definitely hope for, you know, everyone's sakes.
Yeah, if he pulls off a Triple H where, you know, it's maybe twice a year or something like that.
Right.
That's kind of the route to go. 2-3 a year and make it count. If even that much, honestly. So, yeah, I guess it'll be really interesting to see where that goes. I'll probably still watch that trash if it gets onto some channel, but honestly, I'm going to guess that some of these channels, there's a possibility that, we actually share a cable company, so we would end up having or not having that very channel.
Right, I mean, if it ends up being that Velocity channel, I don't believe WoW carries that.
Right.
If it ends up being something like Ion or WGN, then yeah, we get that. But I don't know if I see them. I don't know if I see them that high up on the dial. You know.
Yeah, WGN would, in some ways, to me, be a victory.
It definitely would be a victory. I mean, it's a new WGN now that will not be preempting anything for Chicago sports. It's truly WGN America.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, I think this is where my lack of baseball knowledge. It's the White Sox they have the exclusive contract with.
No, they showed both Cubs and White Sox.
I think both of them might be looking for some kind of like their own cable network deal or something. Yeah,
right. Yeah. Just about every other team has something similar, so I'm not surprised. And they have enough people, enough of a fan base for both of them to pull that off. I mean, for God's sakes, the Cleveland Indians got their own network.
Really?
Well, it was Sports Time Ohio, which aired the Pro Wrestling Ohio. Was originally, that's what it was created for, was for the Indians. So, because Fox Sports Ohio carried the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, okay.
Because it's kind of an opposites thing. There are more Reds fans in the state, but there are more Browns fans. Like, if you go football-baseball ratio.
I think most major metropolitan areas. I believe football will be the number one sport. Pretty much almost anywhere you go, actually. The football team will be bigger than the baseball team.
Well, yeah, that's the case. It's just strange to me that there are more Cincinnati baseball fans than there are Cincinnati football fans. Like, the proportions are different.
Oh, right, yeah, well, you know, Cincinnati and Cleveland, they know there's hours away from each other. They're not technically each other. I mean, I don't know, do Cincinnati, people in Cincinnati, you're an Ohio guy, do people in Cincinnati, you know, kind of by proxy, just cheer for the Cleveland Browns because it's, you know, their state?
No, because they're in the same division, not usually, but there are several...
Oh my God, I'm an idiot. I forgot that Cincinnati has the Bengals, oh my God.
Well, right. Well, you've mentioned that you're not a sports guy, so we'll let it slide. But what was I gonna say? Oh no, like there's several people like my boss in town here that they're a Browns football fan but a Cincinnati baseball fan. And it's a really weird thing that's more a Columbus thing than it is, you know, either a Cincinnati or a Cleveland thing. It's just because they're kind of in the middle, and the Browns were the better football team, and the Reds were the better baseball team, so...
okay.
I'm just throwing that out there that might be the possibility.
Reverses, they're bandwagon jumping, I see.
Yeah, so I know several people that are set up that way. It's a little strange to me, but hey, whatever. Dusty proves that you don't need to be in the same state to cheer for a team. So, anyway, what the? Oh, WGN. Okay, that's how we got off on that tangent.
Yeah, that was quite tangent.
Well. This whole TNA thing is honestly one giant tangent because we hadn't even thought about this.
Yeah, no, I had no intention of talking about TNA, but I was just like, that Wednesday night line, it was just right there, and I'm like, I gotta go for it, I gotta.
Okie dokie. Well, yeah, if I, I might be recording OPA tomorrow, so I probably won't end up doing a column on TNA. That's unfortunate, but anyway, our topic at hand, really, originally when we thought of this show, was your short and sweet article.
I could write this in complete sentences, but no, I think it has more effect this way. Like I'm actually having a conversation with, you know.
Some nameless person. I think that these are reasons I've stopped looking on that many message boards.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's like internet comments. I gotta break myself from it. It's almost like I go looking for just things that make me angry.
Well, it does help, and I mean, I think that that's always why I write a good TNA column, because it just makes me angry.
Right, but, when you can transition that to comedy, it works. When it's just making you angry. it's not as good or as healthy.
Right, Well, yeah, so there are evidently a large portion of persons who believe that Dean Ambrose will be the one to knock off Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I definitely see the people who, think, why Roman Reigns? Why not Dean Ambrose? And I kind of throw out there, like, he's just not that guy. I don't buy it. He's not a guy to beat Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I don't know. He's not a small guy, but he's not... Him and Rollins aren't that big either. Like, they probably need to deal with someone who isn't as large as Brock Lesnar.
Right, I mean... that's what I was... most of what I'm saying. Plus, I don't... This is a point I didn't get into in the article, so this is an audio exclusive right here. while Dean is, gaining in popularity, it's still nowhere near where, I think that there's a mindset with the, internet wrestling community that they want Dean Ambrose to be Daniel Bryan last year, and the guy that they're going to force into the main event, but... There was still enough of a casual following of Bryan. The yes chants were ridiculously over in every arena, last year at this time for him. That it's not there for Ambrose. There's definitely Ambrose can get a great reaction in the Northeast and Chicago, but you go south, you go to the Midwest, you go to the Plain States. They're still not 100% sure on Ambrose.
Well, and I guess I just don't, it seemed like there was a pretty decent consensus to me, at least, and maybe it's just because I don't go to these places, that Roman Reigns wasn't going to be ready by WrestleMania. And I would say that in the push curve, Dean Ambrose, whether you like him more or not, is behind the curve to where Roman Reigns was, at least as far as a single star would go. Excuse me.
Right, yeah, and who the champion is right now, and little intangibles. I mean, as long as Reigns is back in the thick of things by January, he should be able to be plugged right back in where he was, and on the way to the Royal Rumble.
I don't see him, and he has the size and the athleticism, and I feel like I'm bagging on Ambrose because I like him as a wrestler too. But I just think that Reigns has something, just that size that Ambrose doesn't have.
He's got the size. He's got the look.
And I guess his moves.
That's the thing. I think there's another thing. There's another element here. Once again, I go to these places on the internet that I shouldn't go to. But this is people want to force Reigns into this lumbering lug, role, and he's not. He's a great athlete. He's a very good college football player. He's got great leaping ability. He's got a charisma. Not the most dynamic talker in the world, but there's a quiet, confident charisma to him.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. He shouldn't wrestle any differently. Like he's. I mean, I love him as a wrestler. The mic skills obviously is his low point. But I'm still of the mindset though that. Even though Reigns was ahead in development, and obviously this is a bit of a setback with the injury, I still think he's probably slightly more likely than Ambrose to go, but I still don't think that the WWE would do that. Like, I don't think that either of them are at that stage that Daniel Bryan was. Because Bryan had been in the company a bit longer at that point, and now I'm just thinking that I should look that up as I'm talking about it.
Completely different. It's a completely different thing than Daniel Bryan. I mean, I think the correlation more is Bryan to Ambrose than Bryan to Reigns. Reigns is more like Reigns is more John Cena. Yeah, you see it in him. You saw it in him. You see it in him early. You need to cultivate it. And let it build, and strategically, place him and put him in situations where he shines until to the point where he is ready. Of course, the point where he needs to be ready by, is now about 5 months away. But I think that they can get there as long as they run vignettes for his return. He gets mic time every few weeks. He comes back, really strong. Heading to the Rumble, I think everything is going to be good. I mean, once again, last night's little interview with him went a lot better than the last one did. He had something to say. He was, confident. He was,
Oh, well, they actually gave him a promo instead of just having him barely answer something and then leave the screen.
Yeah, that was not good, but he had things to say. He set his course of action when he returns to go after Rollins. You could hear the audible screams of women, because he's a very attractive fellow. Yeah, you gotta give that to him.
You're right. Yeah, okay, so to go back to a point, The Shield came in 2012, and Daniel Bryan started in 2009.
Right.
So that gives...
2010, I think, was the first NXT season.
Right. So that gives Bryan a 2-year head start on either Ambrose or Reigns, if we're talking about WrestleMania main event and kind of cultivating that crowd love, because the Team Hell No thing lasted a year, and that did everything to help Daniel Bryan out with his character.
Oh yeah, it absolutely did. It got Yes No over. It got him. It got the geared over everything. You know, yeah, everything. Kane helped make Daniel Bryan.
Well,
internet wrestling community. Kane did good by Daniel Bryan.
Well, and I guess that's it. Neither Ambrose or Rollins, who really is kind of, you know, not going to be there, or Reigns, they haven't had that full year plus of something like a team Hell No. I mean, they had the Shield, but you could tell that Kane and Daniel Bryan were two individuals. The Shield acted as a unit, and they've kind of been portrayed as that up until the point of Rollins turning.
Right. Yeah.
So they kind of... Bryan had his own identity in that situation. They didn't really have their own identities for the first 2 years that they're there. So, I mean, I just think character-wise, they're a bit behind, too, to try and... Whether, you know, I get your point that it's more of a Ambrose to Bryan correlation, but any three of those guys, like, I think they need more foundation to their just overall singles work before they're given that spot.
Right, absolutely, and hopefully they'll be giving it. They'll be giving that over the next, you know, 4 or 5 months. Hopefully they'll all three be in, you know, good spots. Which is the other, you know, kind of point of my, you know, my short and not so sweet column today. Ambrose is not going to be in the mid card. He's not going to be in the Battle Royal. He's going to have a good match at WrestleMania. Maybe it'll be going back around to Seth Rollins after the Bray Wyatt, you know, thing plays out, or whoever else. He's going to be in a good spot. You know, he's going to be another, you know, project to bring along. Like I said, I don't. Maybe the drag's still out a little bit on Roman Reigns. Although I think that there's going to be more of a. I don't want to say force push, but they're really gonna, you know, strategically, you know, move Reigns into that position, you know, through the Royal Rumble and the WrestleMania. But with Ambrose, he can be the guy, but it'd be in a different WWE and against a different opponent.
Yeah, and I think that was what I was looking for earlier when I was just saying that if physically wise, I don't think Ambrose would be a good matchup with Lesnar. Why was I going to call him Reznor? He's not Trent Reznor. Jesus. Lesnar. And that doesn't even mean that they'd have a bad match together. I mean, I'm sure that both of them could put together a good match. Like, Brock's a good wrestler. Ambrose is a good wrestler. I don't see any reason why that wouldn't be a good match.
I think it would be a good match, but I've made the point before. It would be a good match on another show before WrestleMania, where you know Brock would go over, but Ambrose would just, you know, fight and take a beating and keep coming back until, you know, finally, you know, Brock, you know, hit that F5 and beat him, and then, you know, Ambrose could, you know, do the slow stagger up to a standing ovation for, you know, just for, you know, hanging in there with the Beast.
Gutting it out, yeah. Yep, I can see that working out well. But, yeah, if Brock isn't around after WrestleMania, that might not be an option.
Right. I mean, I think that at some point, maybe by SummerSlam, WrestleMania 32-ish, you could run with Ambrose, and that's also another thing. These guys, these three, are all young. So if it isn't this year, it's for any of them. It's not that big of a deal. There's always next year.
Right. Yeah.
But I am pretty sure that unless something else gets hot, it's going to be Roman Reigns.
Yeah, and I don't see I don't see any three of them having problems. I just think it's more of a time thing than anything else.
I mean, I do think that there would be money eventually, and this is, you know, this is also involved in the argument of whether, you know, Ambrose should have beaten him Rollins on Sunday is, I do think that, you know, after one of them is the champion, presumably Reigns, there's money in a triple threat match.
Oh.
For Shield guys.
Yeah, well, you were throwing out the they're going to have a good match, or he's going to have a decent matchup at WrestleMania, and that's the first thing that popped into my mind. Because Ambrose will have had the singles matchup with Rollins. Reigns will have had a singles, you know, feud with Rollins. And the next logical thing to me at this WrestleMania would be to have the three of them fight each other.
But then where's Brock? So that's why I'm thinking, you know, after, you know, Reigns ends up, you know, presumably possibly ends up the champion, you build to that maybe for SummerSlam.
Right.
I mean, you could do the triple threat at WrestleMania if you've got something else for Brock. But I don't know what that would be.
John Cena, man.
Well, actually, that kind of brings up to another interesting point. It is a little bit of an aside, but one with a transition is, it's believed that, you know, the Cena title match, the title challenge is going to be at the Rumble. And in February, they have officially moved Elimination Chamber, and they're presumably, possibly to June. So I think that kind of answers to two questions. Number one, will Lesnar still be champion by going into WrestleMania? Yes. If he is still a champion, will he work the February pay-per-view before WrestleMania? No.
No.
And there also will not be a disputed finish in the Royal Rumble. Which I do like. I like the idea that after the Royal Rumble, presumably now after, you think presumably, but after the Royal Rumble, the champion and the challenger for WrestleMania will be, you know, set in stone after the Royal Rumble with no February title matches, no the kind of contendership on the line in any match in February. I do like that.
Yep. Well, there's always the... And everyone should rejoice that I bring back the word CM Punk would be an outstanding Brock Lesnar matchup if John Cena does indeed lose clean at the Royal Rumble.
Oh, dude, the grin. Let it go, man. He's not coming back. Let it go.
But you know what, and I don't know if it's it's all that sexy, but if they actually do something correctly with Randy Orton over the next several months,
that could be possible.
I could see that as a matchup. It definitely would not be like you know, like a big pay-per-view draw, in my opinion. Like, just because...
Right. Well,
but,
I mean,
I don't know. Maybe.
This WrestleMania is going to need at least one, if not two, outside attractions. And most likely Sting's going to be in, but I don't see Sting like as that A number one attraction. So,
oof,
I
no.
It's an attraction, it'll be something, especially if it's Undertaker, but I'm not sure if it will be Undertaker. I mean, if it's not Undertaker, you know, they can pretty much throw Bray Wyatt or any, you know, heel at him just to have, you know, a 10-minute match, you know, at WrestleMania. But we're still pretty sure the main, you know, special attraction at WrestleMania is going to be something involving The Rock.
Yeah, you can't get a bigger special attraction than that. I mean, possibly Austin. Everyone keeps on pointing to next year's WrestleMania for that, just because it's in Texas.
And Austin has said that it's absolutely, as much as you can believe any wrestler, he has said that it is absolutely no, because he did what Rock has not done, and he made sure to nip any of the speculation in the bud. If the answer was going to be no anyways, which Rock has, but he did that, you know, a tongue-in-cheek thing for TMZ, you know. So I'm still under the presumption that, you know, Rock's wrestling somebody, whether it's Rusev, whether it's Triple H, whether it's someone else, I don't know.
Right. Yeah, and Rock and Brock could be
That could be. They could run as a title match. Cena could end up with
Or they could
out of the realm of possibility that Cena beats Rock, Rollins cashes in on Cena, and they did, and then they do the triple threat idea with the former Shield members. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Right. Yeah. So
that's why this time of the year that we're coming up on, after we get through these next two months of the end of the year doldrums, once we hit January, it should be a good time.
Yeah, well, that was one of those things that it was so funny to me about the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. It was one of those ones that I went in completely just like whatever, I'm just doing it because it's a pay-per-view. And it went back to that old formula that Jeremy and I used to talk about. Anytime I didn't give a shit about a pay-per-view, it ended up being good. But then every time I thought that a pay-per-view was going to be awesome, it ended up being shit. And right. I had no hope for this pay-per-view at all. And it ended up being, I mean, I don't know if there was a 5-star match or anything quite like that.
No, there really wasn't, no.
But they were all good matchups. Like, even the Bella right. matchup was tolerable.
Yeah, actually, you know, it was good for them. They obviously, in some, even though the angle has been, you know, has been pretty crappy, I think that somewhere in their mind they probably always did want to have a one-on-one match, you know, a major one-on-one match on a pay-per-view with each other at some point. So they definitely prepared. They definitely, you know, they definitely work hard. In many ways, it may have actually been the stiffest match of the night. I mean, you know, I coined the phrase of the Bella Strong style, you know, because some of those knees and the forearms, were, you know, they were laying that. They were, as Stone Cold Steve Austin loves to say on his show, they were laying that shit in.
Yeah, well, you can tell that. It's just funny looking at the two of them because you can tell they're completely different workouts.
They're not twins anymore.
No, that's why I was laughing that Jimmy and Jay.
Biology only, not cosmetics.
Yeah, Jimmy and Jay pulled the twin magic, and then I'm just like, when Nikki rolled outside, I'm like, well, they can't do twin magic anymore.
They did try to do it once or twice after they come back a couple of years ago, but it wasn't working anymore. And yes, I mean,
it's only gotten more noticeable at this point as Nikki has dated John Cena and started powerlifting.
She's up to about a 240-pound squat, I believe.
Oh, well, I'm not even that close to track, but
Right. I mean,
yeah, she is beefed up, and it's not bad because at least she's matching the new chest that she bought herself.
Right. She's very well proportioned at this point, yes. That's kind of the funny part about the whole Bella match. I know it's supposed to be that this whole thing, the humiliation of Brie Bella, that people are supposed to feel sorry for, but, you know, once again, it's almost kind of like the Stephanie match. It's like Brie Bella, agrees to this match, agrees to all the stipulations, goes in there against someone who's bigger and stronger than her, and gets her ass kicked. clean as a sheet. Well, of course, granted, SummerSlam match didn't end clean as a sheet, but Stephanie still dominated 80% of it anyway.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was kind of the...
Yeah, I didn't see much of that match in particular. So...
Right.
Yeah, I mean, she certainly is the smallest of those three. Although, whatever. I still think that she's a better wrestler than her sister.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, obviously,
she's still not great.
especially when Brian was on the road, and I'm sure that they were, you know, getting mid afternoon, you know, workouts in, rolling around. Yeah, that definitely helped Brie tremendously. She's gotten good, and Nikki has improved tremendously as well. I don't dread seeing their matches. I do dread seeing. I have dreaded seeing a lot of their angles over the last couple of months. Although hopefully they can do some amusing stuff with the indentured servitude, story here.
No, they can't. They can't. It's just gonna be bad. I can't let you go through with that one. It's just I was tired of it before the end of the Hell in a Cell pay per view. So
I won't defend it.
I'm just
not my hill to die on with you.
I'm just not gonna be able to handle this for the next month at all. I guess. I don't really care that much about them, so I'm gonna move on.
Yeah, we can definitely move on. We mind this one.
And I guess there was one that really applied to the first situation there that we really didn't talk about, which was Bray Wyatt interferes in the main event of the pay per view, and hands Seth Rollins essentially his win. He is now in a feud with Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, it's fine to me. I mean, I'll say this. I can understand some people not liking the hocus pocus element or the fact that after all the insane bumps that they took in the match that, Dean went... And at the end went down to a modified rock bottom. I'll accept that criticism, but the thing to me is like, I don't believe that, they ruined an opportunity to make a new main eventer. That talking point. I'm like, it would just have been, Dean would have just won a match. That's what it would have been, because in a WWE where there's no WWE champion working regularly, there's nowhere to springboard. There's nowhere that win could have springboarded Dean Ambrose to. There was nothing else you could do, and that's kind of spotlighting the fact that they're going back to the traditional Survivor Series elimination concept, just as a way to and I don't mind it, because I do have a soft spot in my heart for the. Yeah, nostalgic soft spot in my heart for the.
I don't know. You sounded pretty pretty angry about the Survivor Series style match.
When did I do that?
I thought that there was some commentary that that you said that you didn't really like that on Facebook.
I like the Survivor Series match. The finish of Raw was what I really. It didn't do anything for me. The whole contrived, everyone runs down and starts fighting each other for a kind of a contrived reason finish. And then, of course, Cena and Rollins having a 20-minute match, ending once again due to someone jumping on John Cena's back when he has someone in the SDF for the 100th time in the last 6 weeks. I wasn't too fond of that, but no, I'm fine with the Survivor Series. I understand the situation, but it just needing to be a filler show. I mean, if it was up to me, since the show's in Randy Orton's hometown, I would have gone with the Lesnar title match, but WWE obviously feels that, it's not worth the price tag of bringing in Brock Lesnar.
Oh.
And that's the way it is. That's the reality of WWE in this time period with Brock Lesnar as a champion. They have a long-term plan for Brock being the champion, the beast going into WrestleMania, but that also doesn't involve having a champion on these rank-and-file shows.
Yeah, which is really the biggest statement for Survivor Series, is that it's now a rank-and-file show.
It absolutely it has been for years. I have a nostalgic soft spot for the old Survivor Series, how they all used to do it, all the wacky promos and the weird mismatched teams and the team names and all that. So I don't mind it. I understand the reality of what's going on right now. And it's the end of the year. maybe the Slammies Raw in December, things maybe start picking up a little bit. You start seeing a little few hints going into what's the direction going into WrestleMania. So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, if you don't like it, don't watch. Don't hate watch. Oh, I hate watchers so much. I could. That's a series of columns and in an audio shows in its own.
I guess I like the, just because I like the card, and I still like, I'm still going to stand by the wrestling. When there's actual in-ring product, even some of the guys that are taking mysterious drops off a cliff like Cesaro, I'm still digging the matchups.
It is not having any effect on his effort. He'll be rewarded for that effort. I mean, I know there was. I mean, I guess there's some speculation that, you know, Cesaro, you know, kind of talked out of turn in a radio interview last week where he said he was sick of seeing John Cena versus Randy Orton. I don't know if that had anything to do with it or not, but it was dropped pretty severely two nights in a row. So maybe it did.
I don't know. It seemed like he was kind of on the downhill anyway. Like, I didn't think that he was beating Dolph Ziggler. Granted, I didn't think he was going to take two straight pinfalls either.
I thought that maybe they would have given them more time to have a great match instead of just a very good match. But, no, it wasn't meant to be. You know, Cesaro was placed in it. Cesaro is there to have a good match in the mid-card. Or in opening matches, that's his role. I mean, it was almost silly, the Intercontinental United States, you know, matches, you know, between Night of Champions and Hell in a Cell. They just flip flopped.
Yeah, I was quite amused that both The Miz and Cesaro lost to those champions back to back, which was. Bad for them. Well, actually, I can't say it's bad for them because The Miz is way better off with Damian Mizdow than Cesaro is right now.
They've got a place. They are mid-card comedy. It's actually funny, which is like after years of Santino Marella skits, it's like a breath of fresh air to actually have an actual funny mid-card comedy act that they can bring out.
Well, I've got to admit, I got a kick out of 3MB.
Oh yeah, well yeah.
Although I guess maybe they're not even a mid-card
comedy act.
Yeah, okay. My bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the aftermath of the aftermath of Sheamus and Miz with the YMCA, that may have been the most laugh out loud funny thing I've seen on WWE TV in a long time.
Oh, jeez. I thought it went on a little too long, but outside of that, it was still pretty, the whole thing was pretty funny. Like, I would have been okay if it ended with all the different mat work that he was doing and Mizdow was copying. They really have found something that works. And for as much as the announcers are talking about some type of babyface turn for Sandow, they're way better off keeping those two together longer.
When he's no longer Damian Mizdow and he's Damian Sandow again, babyface, I don't know about that one. Feuding with The Miz, I don't know if that, I'm not sure. Maybe if Miz would have won the U.S. title, if it could lead to a title change, but if it's just the two of them in the lower mid-card then, or the lower card part of the card, having comedy matches with each other, I don't think that's going to...
Yeah, yeah.
I think you keep this together for a little while.
Oh man. Was there anything else? I'm trying to think of what else there maybe was to to address, because we're just doing some little quick hitters here now, and I think that's a fine way to go. Because there's no reason to spend any more time on those guys. You know, it is what it is.
Right, exactly.
Oh, whatever. Don't care about Mark Henry and Big Show. Everyone saw that coming.
Right. Yeah, everyone saw it coming. Mark Henry's much better off as a heel, so, you know. Hopefully the matches aren't too bad.
Oh, wow.
They will be. I think that they wrestle each other enough. They shouldn't. They know how to work each other.
Right. I guess now that I look through this, there's only two things through what happened last night. Two things that stick out to me, I guess. Ryback coming back was certainly something that that stuck out to me.
Yeah, he's back. He's back as a babyface. It's like he took 2 months off and he's completely refreshed. People have forgotten. It's October 2012. It's 2 years ago again. Everyone's just completely forgotten the 2 years since he lost the Hell in a Cell match to Punk.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm perfectly happy with that.
Yeah, I am too. I like Ryback. I like Mr. Tweet and Delete. As I tweeted out last night, Ryback, the only man on Twitter with nearly a million followers but zero tweets.
Oh, man. Yeah, he was just... His character's always been kind of funny. Yeah. And he plays up the meat-headedness, which makes it outstanding.
I do hope that he's... You know, he looks like he's going to be a babyface going forward. I hope he brings back... He keeps up with the tweeting, and then it's like, whoops, delete that. That's a really great gimmick.
Oh, man. Yeah, so there was that. And then the other part that I guess was just killing me all night long, and it goes back to the announcers being shitty, is that it was killing me that Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler were not giving away hints to the obvious teammates of John Cena. Like, even by the end of the show, when Dolph Ziggler had been helped by John Cena, and then he helped John Cena in turn, that they're still... Cole and Jerry Lawler should be going, oh yeah, he's definitely going to be on the team. And JBL was doing his part, which is, no one should want to be on his team, and rattling off the reasons. It was right. Just driving me batshit crazy that... Oh, and I guess that was the other thing, is that the WWE was talking about people not remembering John Cena. I'm like, you're not remembering your own goddamn angles right now. Like, it wasn't that long ago that Dolph Ziggler had a run-in with the Authority. Like, it's been this calendar year that happened.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the Usos, who teamed with John Cena also earlier this year. It's just like, how are the babyface announcers not... Because, like, you wouldn't go on to, like, an NFL pre-show and go, oh, I have no idea what's going to happen in this next game. Like, no expert ever is going to give analysis like that. Hey, Tom Jackson, what do you think about Denver against Seattle's defense? Well, well, Chris, and it's just, it kills me that they don't do, like, basic announcer stuff. Speculation is part of an announcer's job these days.
No, they don't analyze. They miss things all the time. Of course, there's also no one telling them in the headset to hit these key points. As far as what you were saying, I don't know. Well, obviously, other than Ziggler, I don't know if they decided on who all the other partners are going to be. I think the big story may end up going into this match will be, you know, it's probably going to build to, you know, whoever else is on, you know, whatever one or two other guys are on each side. I think the big build up is going to be which side is Randy Orton on.
Right. Yeah, that's certainly going to be some serious speculation.
Yeah. I mean, whether Orton ends up on the Authority team, but ends up, you know, fighting with Seth Rollins and, you know, causing them to lose, or if they just do the turn and Orton ends up on Team Cena. So I'm pretty sure, that'll be a good reaction for this thing. As far as, you know, the other guys who are going to be in the match, you brought in Ziggler, so yeah, you can have the Usos in there.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what the rest of the card is going to be, if it's going to be all elimination matches, or if it's going to be just this one elimination match and the rest regular one-on-one matches and tag matches.
Yeah, well, I would posit a theory that Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose will be a singles match.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that, you know, that's going to be a singles match. I don't think you want to blend them in with this Survivor Series match. Maybe if you're doing an all Survivor Series pay-per-view, which they haven't said or anything about yet, maybe they're captaining their own teams.
Which would be weird, but considering that you just are trying to break up the Wyatts in at least some sense.
So I don't think that's where this is going. So I do think that there is going to be a singles match between Ambrose and Bray Wyatt there. The Survivor Series match is probably going to be more like the Survivor Series matches of the past, where, you know, top stars and mid-carders mingle with each other on each side. So, yeah, I definitely see the Usos, you know, getting a spot.
Yeah, I mean, some people need to get pinned in this matchup. So, I mean, you know, you need a couple of people that aren't going to suffer too badly if they take the pinfall. And the Usos, and they're going to keep their spot in the tag team division. Even if they're not the champions, they've done a pretty decent job of keeping themselves relevant without the belts.
Right, yeah. They definitely have. They have a tattoo, too. I'm sure they'll be multiple time tag team champions by the time everything's all said and done. I don't know where you go with, you know, Golden Stardust from here on out. There really isn't another, you know, top babyface team.
Right. Yeah, they're kind of in a hard spot, because that's why I love the Mizdow Miz team, but then you have a heel team against a heel team for the championship, which...
Right.
I don't like babyface versus babyface, but you can get by on it because you can always sell the respect angle.
Right. Yeah. Heel versus heel almost never works. So, you know, I wouldn't go there. So, yeah, I can't say I have any, you know, fantasy booking in my mind for the next tag team title program right now.
Right. Wow, yeah, and that all came from bad announcing. So, I think that honestly about covers it, unless you have something that's sticking in your mind that needs to be addressed.
Quick question. Granted, we made the point earlier, we have the same cable company, but, you know, different states in the region. Do you have the El Rey Network?
You know what? I haven't paid attention, to be honest with you.
Because the Lucha Underground is debuting tomorrow night, actually, on El Rey. So I have not looked in my cable guide yet to see if I have that or the... I know I don't have any of the Spanish channels, but this is an English, you know, English station that's geared towards Hispanic Americans. So I don't believe I have it. I don't believe I have it. That's a new wrestling show on TV starting tomorrow. The Lucha Underground show on the LRA network.
Ah, yeah. Well, I've already started to looking through here. But instead of boring people with that kind of talk, I'm going to mention that my Twitter handle is DeFrango11. The site is at StuntGranny. You, sir, are at Chris Calamedia, which is C-A-L-A-M-I-D-I-A, as you correctly informed people last week.
Yes, and please, if you disagree or agree with anything I said tonight, please let me hear it. let us know that there's anyone listening to this at all. we do appreciate feedback.
You will know it because there will be some level of downloads. That's about the only thing you're gonna hear about this. So, with much less fanfare, I am Kevin, and I am out of here for the evening.